Now.
Now.
Praise you, healer of my heart. Amen. Thank you, Lord. He deserves all the glory and all the honor this morning. He's wonderful, and he loves you, and he loves us. What else do we want? Because we all wanted to be loved at one point. We couldn't find him until he found us. And that's why we are here this morning, to praise him for his goodness, his faithfulness, for all the things that he has done for us. I mean, if he don't do one more thing, I'm satisfied. What about you? Amen. Well, I'm glad you're here this morning. I'm glad that I am here this morning. Because if you can see me, that means the rapture hasn't happened. But the day that you don't see me, I'm wondering, what is he like? You don't know. He might be gone. Amen. We all going to be gone together anyway. Amen. That is our hope. That is our prayer. This morning, we'd like to remember Brother, our pastor. He's, I think he's in Arkansas or something, A.K., A.K. is Alaska? Oh, that's how much you think, I mean, that I know. This morning, I forgot, I could not see Malachi right next to me. And then I could not hear neither, and I could not remember. So, listen, we're down to the bottom of the barrel this morning. I really need your prayers, okay? But see, you didn't come to listen at me anyway. So you're going to come to listen at him. Whatever I said, you know, we hope and we pray that it's all under his control. So I'm not worried about it. If I'm beside myself, I'm not worried about it. Because that is the way I'm supposed to be. Anyway, and Andy, I thought you was going to preach this week, I guess, out somewhere. But you're here, so I'm glad. Because I sure need some support sometimes, you know. Not that you guys are not support and you pull, but it's always good to see a minister in case I flop, you know, so he can take over. There's always somebody available for you guys. Don't worry about it. Yeah, we love Andy and Brother Doug. Always been an encouragement to me. And they always edify me. Every time I hear them preaching. And I was wondering, I would like to be, when I grow up, I would like to be a preacher just like them. Anyway, I don't want to take no more of your time. Thank you, musicians. Thank you for your service. We appreciate you. Give him a round of applause. Why not? Amen. I'm glad that God has everything under control and the people, the right people in the right places to do the right things this morning. Even though if it don't look like. But it's, God don't go by looks. Amen. So this morning, what I like to do, actually, the Spirit inspired me to go the same route, almost like Brother Andy did. I'm going to read a lot of scriptures, and I'm going to read messages, because I want to set a foundation this morning, a base for what I'm going to bring tonight. So if you don't get everything tonight, I mean, this morning, don't worry. Tonight, it will be more clear to you. But I had to bring you and root you to the Word of God first, what the Word of God said, before I can bring you something, you know, something that it had to do with that, related to that. So I want to cover scriptures and some messages and set the basis for tonight preaching. And it will become more clear to you. Amen? Amen. So let us read from Genesis 5. It says, "And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Then Hebrews 11, verse 5 says, and 6, "By faith," and this is the next account that we have of Enoch. There's only two accounts in the Bible. This is all we know. "And Enoch was translated that he should not see death." It sounds familiar to you? Amen. Those that are remain alive, yes, will be changed in a twinkle of an eye. Yeah? "Shall be not see death, and were not found, because God has translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Amen. And we remember that Enoch was the seventh from Adam. And that reminds you something? Keep the sevens together. This is the seventh and last age, right? It was a resurrection. It was somebody got cut up, was translated. He said, the seven of Adam. And this means, or prophesy, it's not there. I added this later. It says, this prophesied of the Lord come with 10,000 of his saints. That's what Jude 1:14 says. So being the seven of Adam, this is what that means. The coming of the Lord, right? After the rapture with 10,000. Now Colossians says this, and it's not there neither, but just hold on. He said that he has already translated us. Okay, he said, had translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. So, you know, I made it. God, we're not going to do something and then, you know, at the end say, well, you didn't make it. No. He said, I am already translated. So potentially I already made it. Potentially I'm not waiting for the rapture so I can see if I did or not. No, I already know I made it. Because the Bible, Paul says, we have been translated. Spiritually, of course. We're just waiting for the actual time to go. But spiritually, we have been translated from the kingdom of Satan or darkness to the kingdom of light, to the kingdom of Jesus Christ, heavenly places. So all we are just waiting for the final call. But we made it. I like that song that somebody sing. I think it's Brooke, Isaiah Brooke. We made it. You know? So, Brother Doug, about a few months ago, he preached about the rapture. And he also preached about his emphasis, his topic, his main topic was that we already been raptured because the rapture is in you. Right. See, we're not waiting for something to happen. We are not waiting for a revival. We're not waiting for, you know, California to fall. We're not waiting for anything. We're not waiting for any sign. We already have our sign. Right. Amen. So the rapture is in you. So that takes all the scare and all the mystery out of everything. You know, it's all kind of stuff out there. We are in the millennium. The prophet has to come back. And the white horse and the tent. I mean, this whole kind of stuff out there. Yeah. See? But I know one thing. And one thing only. It is what a prophet said. You know? That we have already been. Paul said we have already been translated. Amen. So, six to finish the verse 6, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. So it's all by faith. It's a faith walk. But my faith looks unto that day. Amen. Why? Because it's already been said, it's already been done, it's already been arranged. We have been predestined. Our destiny is already there. All we have to do is just walk into our destiny. Amen. Let us read one more thing. Brother Branham says, now, sounding for this messenger, talking about the Revelation 10:7, sounding for this messenger, the seventh angel here is sounding for his message to the Laodicean church. Notice his type of message. Now, it wasn't to the first angel, was given to the second angel, third, fourth, sixth, but it's the seventh angel that he is that had this type of a message. See, the Bible has had to restore completely. Why? Why was it? Notice his type of message, finishing all the mysteries of God that are written in the book. Done. No more mystery. Amen. Mystery for those that don't know. But there's no more mystery. So let's take that thing out of the way. Amen. Notice the type of message. Finishing all the mysteries of God that are written in the book. The seventh angel is winding up all the mysteries. that laying loose ended, you know. All through all these 7-8 churches, the denomination and the religious people been poking at it. But now we don't have to poke at it anymore. Now we know that we know. Because God has restored the word and sent us a message. That is his voice. The 7 angels winding up all the mysteries that laying loose ended. All out through this organization and denomination. The 7 angels gathered them up and finished the entire mystery. Revelation 10:7. And when the voice of the last messenger or angels start sounding, it will be time no more. Done. That's where we are. I mean, just think about it. I'm trying to bring you to a mindset that's where we are. He said that the Bible is finishing all the mystery written in the book. Amen. So, I didn't put it here neither, but in Ephesians 3:9, because I want to tell you what this mystery is. Not mysteries, but the mystery. It will be finished. Ephesians 3:9 says, and to make all man see what is the fellowship of his mystery. That's what Paul says. It's not in the... thank you. The mystery, the fellowship of the mystery. So, actually, it's not the mystery, but it's the fellowship. That's where the mystery is at. But he says, and that was Paul's dispensation to bring, you know, to close, to end, the last. He says, to make man to see what is the fellowship which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God. Nobody knew it. This mystery, it has been hidden where? In the back of his mind. It took a prophet to go beyond beginning and go back to the mind of God to bring out the mystery. And what was the mystery? Which the beginning of the world have hidden God, he says, who created all things by Jesus Christ, who was in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. What was that mystery? You, the bride. See, that bride, God, throughout 7-8 churches, has brought it forward. Now we are right on the head, from the feet all the way to the head. She's done. Amen. So there's no more mystery. You want to know the mystery? You are the mystery that was hidden in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. Amen. That's awesome, huh? Amen. Now, let note a few of these mysteries. And if you want to write them down first, I will take that Scofield says here in Matthew 13. If you like to type some of them down, if you haven't got a Scofield Bible, you might read what he thinks some of these mysteries. Now, in 11 verse of Matthew 13, he says, and he answered and he said unto them, because it's given to you, his disciples, and it's given to you. See, you must believe. Mm-hmm. It's given to you because it is given to you to know the mystery, nobody else. You are very privileged. I don't know how people don't understand. We honor and so privileged that he let us know his mystery, what was in the back of his mind. Nobody else. You are really a special, you know, group of people. We are really, really a privilege and honor. Amen. To be called. Because he says he will reveal to you everything. He will open the word for you. But only you can see the word. He said, and answer and say unto them, because I give it to you, disciple, because it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But not to them. So there were two groups, you know, the wise virgin and the, but it's given to you. Amen. You shall rejoice today. Amen. That God has chosen you and God wants to make love to you and talk to you. He's not doing it with everybody. So you should be happy to be here this morning. Amen. What other place we'd rather be? Amen. Given to you the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but not to them. But to them it is not given. Third, the mystery is the one I want to cover. It's about 11:12, but The mystery of the translation of the living saints at the end time of this age, talking about you and me. Then we can find it in 1 Corinthians 15 and Thessalonians 4, 14. And I'm going to read it, but I'm going to let you sit down. Well, before we pray, after I pray. Father, we thank you once again for the privilege and the honor that we have to assemble ourselves together, Father. That is you. You put that desire in our heart. You brought us together. The Spirit is in control, Father, this morning. Father, we're depending on you, Father, not in ourselves. We don't have no merit. We don't have anything, Father. Without you, we can do nothing. So this morning, we welcome you. We ask you to take your rightful place in our hearts this morning. Anoint me and anoint the congregation to receive the words of life this morning. Be with our brother, pastor, Father, whatever he said, that he will be an encouragement and edify the people, Father, that he's going to speak to, Father. Use them, Father, in a mighty way, Father. We love you. We thank you. And, Father, don't forgive us, Father. We need you to come in a mighty way, Father, and reveal to us, Father, the word that you have prepared for us before the foundation of the world today. In Jesus' name, we ask you these things. Amen and amen. So, you can be seated. Thessalonians. Let's go to Thessalonians. I'm getting a little warm. I don't know if it's just up here, but I'm going to have to take this thing now. And I didn't bring my jacket because I know it was going to be warm. So, anyway, 1 Thessalonians 4. For it is, we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Those that are already passed away die, but the Bible refers to sleeping because they're not dying. They don't die no more than God can die. So that's what Jesus told the disciple. You know, they come to him, to Jesus, and said, Lazarus just died. He says, and then the disciple says, he tells the disciple, he's okay, he's asleep. So we sleep, waiting for his coming. And we believe that Jesus died. For this we said, 15, unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain. You got to be alive. Not only remain, because a lot of people that remain, they're not alive. And the only way you can be alive is you have the breath of the God in you, the Spirit of God in you. You know, that is what makes us alive. Amen. And remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. We're not going to hold them back. And they're waiting on you to get ready, waiting on me. Why? Because nothing is the Word of God, nobody can stop it. It cannot fail. So they are waiting for us. Amen. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. With a shout. With the voice of an archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we know that as Jesus descended, he did all three of these. Amen. And we know that the shout was the voice that said to the 10 virgins, wake up. They were asleep. You know, he said, wake up. But the bridegroom is what? Coming. See? And then the voice, the message. And then the last one would be the trump. You know, the going, the call to go, to leave here. You know, the resurrection, the rapture. And with the trump of God and dead in Christ shall rise first. And then those that are alive and remain will be second. Amen. So we're going to have the privilege to see those that die before us. Somehow, I will recognize my mom, my dad, or whoever, family, or brothers and sisters that passed away. One of these days, we are going to see them because they're going to come back first for bodies. That's going to be an exciting time. What happened if it happened on a Sunday and then suddenly all the pews are full and who invited all these people? And it's all the people you knew, but they're younger now. Wow. Let me not think too much about that one. I get too excited about these things. With the boy, then which are alive and remain, I read that one. So in Thessalonians 5, it says, but of the time and the season, brothers, you have no need that I write unto you. You don't need to know. So stop asking. We don't worry about what time and what hour. He said, for yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. So you already know what the deal is. So I stopped asking, are we closer? It is near. When? I'm ready. I'm not ready. Stop worrying about it. Because it's going to come like a thief in the night now. For the day that they shall say peace and safety, then suddenly destruction come upon them as travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. So when they say peace, peace, now we are working, you know, the government is working and trying to bring peace out there in Ukraine and Israel and other places, because the whole world is at war, you know. So we are not too far from that, from this to be fulfilled. But you, brothers, are not in darkness. We don't walk, we're not children of the darkness. He just told you that. That they should overtake you as a thief. So again, I'm not worried because it's not going to overtake me. See? Remember what the Bible says. Jesus said, if you have not the Spirit of God, or you have another spirit that will overtake you, if you don't get the Holy Ghost, that's the powerhouse anyway. But any other spirit can overtake you. But you cannot be overtaken. Satan cannot do that. He lost already. Amen. So sit tight, you know, and be happy. Because he cannot throw nothing at you that can take you. You already been taken. You already have a ring in your finger. You are the bride of Jesus Christ. He already espoused you. We're just going to the feast. But see, already the marriage happened here. And we already have our ring. He cannot take us anymore. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, not of darkness. Of darkness. For they that sleep in the night. Okay, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. That don't mean that physically we don't need to sleep. You know? Being sober is being aware, being wise, being of things, you know? Being in the right mind. The day that sleep at night, and they that be drunker at the night, see? But let us who are of the day sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet that of salvation. For God had not appointed us to wrath. And you happy? But to obtain a salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whatever we wake or sleep, either the way of death or we still alive, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort yourself. And that's what I want to do this morning. I want to comfort ourselves. I want to encourage ourselves. I want to edify you. You know, I want to know that even also you do. So that's why we are here this morning. Oh, but I already know about the rapture. I know about translation. Well, I already heard it so many times. Well, then what are you doing here then? I mean, if you're ready, you got to wait for me. So if you're ready, you know, then be humble. You know that revelation don't puff you up. Revelation should make you humble. And the more closer you get to God and reveal God, it should be down, down, down. The way up is down, down, down. So don't tell me that you are revelated. Show me how humble you are. The word of God will humble you. So if you heard this before, you know, someone says, and it is good to repeat it, never lose the enthusiasm for what? For the coming of the Lord. So if you say, well, I already know about this, I don't want to hear again, but you know how many times I heard about the rapture translation this year, the beginning, more than 6 times. Because not only from outside, YouTube, from message, people that are listening out, and a brother Doug, brother two. So that is what is in the air. That is what is in there. So rejoice because, you know, our living here is close. Amen. Just be ready. You know, then Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15, I'm only going to read 20 to 25. But now, is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit. He was the first fruit. I'm glad that it was the first fruit, because there had to be a second. You can't have a first without a second. And we are the second, you know, of them. Excuse me, Nino, here. I'm to get comfortable. If I'm not comfortable, no. Okay, here we go. Anyway, to them that sleep. For since by man came death, by man came also resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, he says, even so in Christ shall all we live again. But every man in his own order, Christ first fruit, afterward they are Christ at his coming. So we are Christ at his coming. So see, if it's the first, it has to be a second. Amen. Then come at the end, when he shall deliver up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rules and all authority and power, for he must reign till he had put all the enemies under his feet. And that's Satan. Amen. And all his 200,000 spirits. We're going to put him right under our feet. Amen. Amen. And we're going to give him a good kick. Amen. Put him in the foxhole. And then we're going to bury him. The last enemy that shall be destroyed, that is death. Because death came because of the fall. And it was his fault. Amen. But that it will be destroyed. Amen. And that is our last enemy. So don't fear death. Death is only a little, you know, vehicle that's going to take you, transport you, translate you, take you. You know, death has no sting. That was taken away in Calvary. So, what are we talking this morning? Talking about the rapture. Okay? Translating is you've been in a place and you have, they take you from that place to another place. You know? It could be translating you from this time to a future time. Or this time, you know, you have seen all these movies, you know, they translate the wormholes and sci-fi. I used to like a lot of sci-fi movies anyway. Forgive me. My mind is all warped anyway. So, you know, people was taken, snatched to another period of time. So we are going to be translated one of these days. From here to another heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're going to be with him forever. So this rapture means to be caught up. Okay? Now the word rapture is not in the Bible, but it's mean to be caught up. To be carried off, to be kidnapped, to be snatched, to be carried away. You know, none of those things sounds like peacefully things. Like, do you like to come with me? No. I mean, can you imagine carrying you off violently? God, let's go. That's what happened to Philip when he was over there talking to the Enoch. After he finished talking about Isaiah and trying to explain to him what happened to him, he was snatched. He probably didn't know what happened. Probably snatched by the hair. In those days, they had long hair, so there was no barbershop like we have today. So, violently. See? So, Matthew 11:12 says, and from the day of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence. So, I'm trying to tell you that this is not a picnic. You know? Oh, but everybody that believe in God, we all gonna make it, and denomination, well, we have more than one way to make it. There's no more than one way. Yeah, you gotta fight. I mean, that means fighting. Okay? The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent takes it by force. You wanna take the kingdom of God, you got to take it by force from Satan. That is your enemy. It's no time to be relaxing and now I must sit here and wait for the coming of the Lord. Well, no, you better fight your way into the kingdom of God. I mean, you already made it. God said, you know, this is a promised land to the Israelites. Say, it's yours. You can have it. I gave it to you. But you're going to have to go and fight for it. You know, You want to get out of here? You better start fighting. Just don't sit like, things are okay. It is time to get up and fight for what is ours. And Brother Van said, every step is possession. Not so much, the battle is not in to go and fighting and getting. The battle is to keep. Because Satan is not going to let you keep it. See? Oh, well, he came to the Lord, he got the Holy Spirit, and lost. No, that's when the fight starts. Because he wants to convince you that you don't got anything. And you're going to have to fight to tell him, I do have something. Because the Bible says that God gave us a weapon. If it was a better weapon, he would have given it to us. He gave us the word. But in Revelation, you got Jesus Christ standing, and they said out of his mouth came a sword, and the sword, the two-edged sword, is the Bible. And with that, he went out the wrath of God to all the nations. But you got the same weapon. Your mouth. That's where the sword, the word. And you're going to have to fight. Andy was put it very beautifully. If you don't know the word and he comes to you, how are you going to fight? That is your only weapon. It's the word of God in you, in your mouth. Amen? So it is time that we start fighting. Brother Doug says, we have to come to the point that we are in the speaking terms with God. It's the time that we start speaking and start all crying out like Moses. We need to start fighting for what's yours. Your health is yours. Satan cannot decide which death you are going to die and what disease you're going to die. That is up to God. So when he comes to you with this and that and the other, you need to fight back. You need to cut him out asunder. Move him. Because he don't decide how I'm going to die and when I'm going to die. That's his. So he can lie to you. Oh, you're full of cancer now. Oh, you got this and you got that and you got the other. So what? Pull the sword out and start fighting your way. Start cutting your way through. Don't take it sitting down. He says, Revelation 19:5 says, and out of his mouth goes a sharp sword. I read you this one, Revelation. So that with it he should smite the nations. Well, he's my nation. You and I will smite every spirit that comes around. Swing it. And you have to have a strong arm of faith. It's not good to have all this and don't believe that will help you. He says, sharp sword that with he should smite the nation, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. This does not mean soft hands with gloves. This is hard. This is violent. We're not living in times of everything is good and everything is fine and blah, blah, blah. And I'm floating out of the, like an angel in the sky. Times are hard and they're going to get worse. And if we're not out of here by them, we are going to have to fight, a last battle for our soul. He cannot take our soul. He tried to convince you. He can. He says, smite nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. See? And he treaded the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Well, God is love, but God is also fearful. God is also a God of justice. The Israelite took the promised land by force. Every step of the way was possession. And what you possess is you have to fight to keep it. That's the whole thing. See? And they held tight, to the promise of God. See? The word of God was their victory. Amen?
Yes, amen.
And God has spoken it, and it shall be done that way. Amen. Now, that's what's happening. Now, who is involved in this thing? Christians that are justified, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Okay? Remember, some will receive it, hear it, accept it, and some won't. And choose by God. It has to be chosen by God. And I'm glad that he chose me, because nobody else would have chose me. I wouldn't even chose myself, knowing myself. I mean, but I'm glad that I was chosen before the foundation of the world. And we were chosen by God and to fight violently to take and possess the kingdom of God and bring Satan down and out of their inheritance. He's squatting. We need to get him out of there. Amen. He's coming down. We're going up. See, that's what Brother Doug said about that faith dominion, you know. Realm, like faith dominion anyway. That's what we have to get him out. That belongs to us. That is our rightful place. John 10:27-28 said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. 28, and I give unto them eternal life. So if you heard his voice, you are a very privileged person. There's a bunch of people out there that don't even know what they claim to know God, but God don't know them. See, because that's what the Bible said. It's eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of his hand. See, he cannot overtake you. Amen. Matthew 7:23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. That was the other side of the coin. See? Those that they said, we did miracle, we preached the gospel, we went and did this and that and the other. I mean, he said, depart from me. Why? You wasn't in my mind. I didn't choose you. And you said, but that's kind of sad. Well, God is a fair God. He was fair with Cain. Cain deserved death. He killed his own. But, you know, God is fair. God will said, whosoever will believe, you know, shall receive salvation. And we are not the whosoever. We are his chosen one. But if somebody is still, in that day, there will be books open. And more books open. That's, you know, and depending on what they knew and what they did with what they knew, they will receive eternal life. God is fair. Amen. God is fair. Amen. Luke 10:18-20. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devil are subject unto us and through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as a lightning fall from heaven. See? Behold, I gave unto you power to tread over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And he says, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I mean, God is our protection. God is our shield. God is our strong power. Don't be afraid to go on there and fight your way through, because he is the one that is protecting you and guiding you. Yeah. Nothing, he says, can touch you. Right. So don't be afraid to fight your way. Oh, but if I got cancer, but fight. Fight your way. You know, there is seem like cancer today is be listening to some churches back east and people that have cancers and tumors. This is, I mean, not just one person, two, three in the same congregation, four, five. You know. Satan, no. His days are completed, done. He's done. But he's trying to do, you know, his best effort to do at the end, to take as much as he can take. But he cannot take you. He cannot take me. Why? Because we are protected. Amen. Says, behold, I give unto you power to trade, says, and by any means, that's what the Israelites went into the promised land. It wasn't them, it was God with them. See? That bring all the victory. Behold, I give unto you power to tread over serpents. Now 20. Now we standing in this rejoice. Now, so not rejoice just because you got power to preach the gospel, because you got power to do miracles, because you got power to heal the sick, or you got power for this and that and the other. That's not the evidence that you got it. It says, but rather rejoice because you name is written in heaven. So you need to know that you are one of his. I cannot tell you that. You need to know. You have to make your calling. You are the one need to decide, yes, I am one of them. I was chosen by God.
Amen.
Amen. So it is not what we do after. It's that we have the one in us to help us with all these things. Because you and I can do nothing without him. So that's the one who the Lord has prepared and has equipped, you know, to make it, his sheep. Now, when the question the disciple, when is this going to happen? Okay, we are the one, we are the chosen. Our name is in the book. Now, when? Well, Luke 21:28 says, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your head, for your redemption draws nigh. And if you read Luke, it's talking about pestilences, about war and rumors of war, about earthquakes, about this, about that. And the whole thing that right now is what is happening all around us. Look up, your redemption is nigh. Matthew 24:3 says, and as he sat upon the Mount Olive, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us when all these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come on my name, saying, I am Christ, and it shall deceive many. Christ is the anointing. They're going to say, hey, Christ is in our church. Oh, we got the anointing. Yeah, the Pentecostal had the anointing. And brother, I said, with that anointing in the flesh, you go to hell. See, not the Spirit of God cannot, but they were anointed in the flesh. It says, and there's many people saying today, no, it's in our church, even in the message.
Yeah.
Let's not leave that out. Let's bring it home. You know, the thunders, you know, I'm not saying that they're wrong, but we have many tangents of this message. You know, but let no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ, I'm the anointed one. And it shall deceive many. See, and that's what Satan is doing. The denomination think they are serving God. But it's Satan sitting in there as a God. And they don't know it. And you better not tell them that, because they're going to get mad at you. Because they don't understand what you mean. See, shall come saying Christ and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars, rumors of war. See, that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So we're not there yet. But when they start saying peace, 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 then sudden destruction will come. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdoms against kingdom, and there shall be famines, pestilences, earthquake, dark places. Wow, somebody could have wrote a movie. This is what's happening right now. I mean, I don't have to see the movie. I just go out there, put the news. And if you can, you can sit on the news for half hour and watch all this bad stuff. However, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Now, here's the key. He answered the question. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. So, when the last comes in, we are here. Because that's why we preach in this gospel, looking for the last one. Amen? To get out of here. So, I don't know who's going to find it, but I know when they find it, I'm be out of here. And I can say, they found the last one. I don't know where, but they found it, finally. So keep praying that we can find the last one. I don't know who is going to find it, but just pray for whoever.
Amen.
Father, if not me, send someone. I'm ready to get out of here. See, but that's what happens. So we get so complacent and so relaxed and, you know, like the children of Israel, you know, until something starts happening, you know, God had to press them and push them and put them through all that so they can just, oh, get me out of here, Lord. So, and sometimes God has to take the little feathers out of the nest and move the nest and, you know, so the pokies start poking and you feel uncomfortable and miserable. Say, ah, I better get out of here. Stop flying. That's what God wants. So when things get a little rough in your life, you know, maybe God is trying to tell you to get those wings and start flying a little higher, because you are going to have to get out of here yourself. You got the power, but you have to do it. Amen? Nobody's going to do it for you. Amen? 15, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, who readeth, let him understand. And I believe that that will be when the apostasy completely will come, and the man of sin will sit as God in his temple. I heard some other things throughout the years, but you don't have to believe that. That's my opinion anyway, because that's when the tribulation is going to get set in. Now, learn a parable of the fig tree. Another, when these things are going to happen. Well, here, learn a parable of the fig tree. Remember, he spoke to them in parable because to them were given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, not to everybody else. To everybody else, it was a little story. To them, it has a very significant message in those parables. He goes, said, now learn the parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and put it forth leaf, you know summer is nigh. So only thing, you know when something is coming and the seasons are going to change. Things start changing. Something happens before something sets in. That's all it is. And you can tell the time and you can tell the season. So you can also spiritually can see the changes. Now he says, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Now, who is the fig tree? Israel is stuck at the fig tree. Now, remember that the fig tree became a nation in 1948, March 14, 1948. Okay? Now, a new generation was born in 1948. I was born in 1949, a year later. So I'm part of that generation regardless, even if it's a year after. And anybody that was born after 1949 is a generation that we're talking about here, not the one past. He says, tender put it, okay, so likewise, when you shall see this thing, know that it's near. Now, very soon to you, the generation shall not pass. What generation? Well, he's talking about the fig tree. Israel becomes a nation, put out his buds, remember? When the fig trees are put in his, that was him. It did, became a nation, recognized. Now, this generation is passing. I'm born 1949, April, and I'm 76 years old. How much more do I have in my generation? Remember, I'm a generation, because everybody born is a generation. A generation is not a group of people. You know, because Brother Brown says, every day a generation is born. I don't know how many babies were born in 1949, April, in my day. And I have found one person that he was younger than me, but he was born in 19, well, not in my year, but it's in my day and my month. But that's the closest I got to it. Around the world, you don't know how many people were born in 1949, April, in that same day. But a generation was born in my day. But I'm glad that I was the one chosen out of that generation. Because it says one out of that generation. I don't know. I like to believe it that way. I'm not telling you that it's you know, that said the Lord. This is my understanding, and you can receive it or not. It's just my way of seeing things. Branch tender says, you shall see this thing now that is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, the generation shall not pass till like all these things be fulfilled. So anybody that was born in 1948, 78 years old. So that generation is still going. Now, there's two more generations in between. But that generation was born in that day, 1948, still alive. Some of them at least still alive. Probably the majority is still alive. So we will not die. Now, I might be able to see the rapture. I will be one of those that remain and alive, and I'll be changed. Why? Because it's so close. It could happen any time now. See? We are that close. And I'm still alive, so maybe I will see it in the next, 5 years, 10 years. I don't know when it's going to happen. But if I live as long as my mom, 102 years old, you're going to have a long way to wait. Your kids will be married, having kids and everything else. But this generation shall not pass. I'm looking for him in my time. That is my hope. That is my promise. I don't know what you see, but you're in between there too. Amen. Better listen to you. See, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But if that day and hour no man knows. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But we know that we are that close. We see the signs of the end times. And I'm going to get a little bit more into that later on. Matthew, because another question they asked was where? When and where? Matthew 24, 28, 44 says, for who, wheresoever the carcass is, there will be eagles be gathered together. Eagles and angels, that's the same thing. Eagles will be gathered together. So, that is the fresh manna, you know. That is what we had, the fresh word. We're not eating, you know, manna from another time. We are not living from Moses preaching or Baptist or, you know, we are eating, you know, our food, spiritual food in due season. It's fresh. So he says, all right, that's the eagles. That's you and me. You remember the story of Brother Branham about the eagles. I'm not going to repeat it. Everybody knows about the eagles. You know, one time we thought we were chickens. You know? Some people still act like chickens, but that's okay. That's nothing against you guys. We are eagles. And when the eagles gather around the what? Around the word. Around the word of God for the day. Not for yesterday, not for tomorrow. Today's this age word. So those that have received it, those that are sons and daughters of God that have been chosen, they will gather around the word of God. In fact, they will look with the word of God because they cannot stand, you know, something that is in the past, that is already rotten now. We want fresh. As eagles, we need fresh food. Amen. And he says, then shall two be in the field. Now, a field in the Bible is the world. Like, you know, the sower came and sowed seed in the field. The field represents the world. The one shall be taken and the other be left. Okay? And that is the same thing as the same concept about being a wise bride and a foolish one. The same concept is two. Well, a believer and a non-believer. So one will be taken and one will stay behind. Amen? That's all he's saying. Now, they ask where the carcass is, where the word is being preached, where the word of the hour at the time, that is. And I'm so glad that God has chosen us to feed off this word of God, this message. It says, two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken and the other will be left. Where? A woman represents a church, grinding away. The same concept, but one will be taken. And one will stay. And we know the denomination will not make it. They put him out. But we're still moving forward, grinding away, fighting away to there. And it's just the concept of two people, you know, like the Bible says, believe and unbelieve. Watch, therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord that come. Therefore, be ye also ready. For in such an hour, if ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Just be ready. How can you be ready? Well, if you're doing today what God is asking you to do in the best of your knowledge, in the best of your ability, in the best that you know how you're doing what God, and everything is under the blood and everything is right and you make everything okay and there's no sin, because every day we have to repent sometimes for the errors and mistakes. Make sure when you get up, everything is okay. In fact, make sure when you go to sleep, because you don't know if you're going to make it, make sure if you have an art against anybody, don't go to sleep and leave it there, because you don't know if you're going to wake up that night. And if you're a son of God, you will take care of that before you go to sleep. Don't let the sun set on you, you know, anger. Make things right. If everything is right, and everything is clean, and everything is under the blood, and everything is correct, and holy and perfect, then you don't have to worry. I'm ready. We're ready. Amen. So if you die that day and you went to the ground, you went with that expectation, like all the other ones had gone into the ground today. And that day when you come up with the same expectation. But if we are not, we're going to be alive. We have to be ready, and being ready every day, not every Sunday or every Wednesday. Well, like the Catholic Church do, you know. They go throughout the week and they do all this, you know, sinning, and they take the bag full and they confess on a Saturday, they dump it. Ah, they feel clean, they hear a good message. Monday start again, they fill it up again, you know. Yeah, we don't do that. We want to move forward. And asking God every day, Lord God, what something that displeases you, something in my heart, something, I want to do what you want me to do. I want your desire. Just search me, Lord. Because if anything happens, you're ready. That's all. You don't have to worry. You just make sure you are walking in the will of God every step you take. And if there's something that is not making right, don't wait. Brother Doug says, you know, time don't make things better. The longer you live it, the worse it gets. And sin will take you further than we want to go. Amen? So how these things are going to happen? Acts 1:5. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the time or the season, which the Father has put in his own power. Remember, you don't need to worry about the time and the season and when and how. What you need to make sure is that your name is in the book of the Lamb of God. And then lead us. Who you are, a son and a daughter of God. That's all. You don't worry about anything else. You already make it. Whenever it is, I made it. When is the rapture? It just happened. I made it. I'm just waiting here, but I made it. When is the rapture going to happen? Right now. I'm being raptured now to heavenly places. Let's start acting like we are not here. I mean, don't stay home. I mean, not here in church. Come to church. Sometimes we need to start acting like we are there already. Maybe people will see a different disposition in us if we start living this gospel the way it's supposed to be lived. Why do I need to wait until the rapture happens so I can be happy and I'll be ready? You won't be. You will leave it left behind. Why? Because you have to be ready before, not after. Jesus is not going to come and say, okay, today is rapture day. Wake up. Okay, you don't. No, that's not going to happen. Right. You're going to know. If you're ready, you're going to know. But you know, it's every day. Because I don't know if it's coming tomorrow. I don't know if it's coming yesterday. But I need to be ready today. So rapturing day is today. Right. Remember, Israel used to say tomorrow. Next year, Israel. You know what I'm saying? Tomorrow, rapture. So when I come to church, I come with an expectation. I come with an anticipation. And not going like, another day. Okay, you can smile now. Are you happy to be in church? Yes. More than that, are you happy to be with one another? Yes. And further than that, are you happy that he's here? Yes. So what other place you would rather be that is happier than this place? Yes. So tell your faith, tell your faith that you're happy. Amen. You know, some people might look at you out there and they said, and you said that you are. You know, people are supposed to want what you have. But if we are sometimes where we are, I don't know if they want that. And I don't blame them. It says, you shall receive power. First, receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus says over here, talking to in John, you shall be baptized, you know, in the day of Pentecost with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. Therefore, come together. When therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times and the season which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power. See, what you have to worry is to receive the Holy Ghost, the one that is going to change you, the one that is going to help you take a fly out of here. It is the power of God. After the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witness unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the world. So, don't worry about his coming, young people. You need to worry about having the Holy Ghost. The coming of the Lord and the rapture will take care of himself. But the one need that we need to have is the Spirit of God that seals us into the kingdom of God. So he said, don't worry about these things. Just receive the Holy Ghost and go out there and be my witnesses. That's what we're supposed to be doing right now. Not sitting now waiting for the rapture. We should be out there, you know, with the power of the Holy Ghost, witnessing. You don't have to say a word. You can be at school. You can be at work. You can be at Walmart. You could be the greeter. I don't care. But you can, you know, but what people see in you when they walk in there, in school. What people see at school when they look at you. Another guy like them, if that's what they're seeing, there's something wrong. Because you are different, you're special. Now, I'm not saying you're better than the other person. I'm saying there must be something in you.
Right.
You know? And there must be something in you that someone else will desire to have, that don't have.
Right.
That's the kind of a witness we should be. Now, you don't have to say a word. Your life tells me. Your fruits tell me. The way you live, the way you converse, the way you talk, the way you move, the way you do things, people will know if you are or you are not. You don't have to say a word when you testify on your witness or you, you know, about the Lord. Your life is a written book. It's an open book. See, those people maybe never read the Bible, but they're reading you. And if you are the Bible, what are we putting out? I'm not mad at you guys. Mad at the devil only. Matthew 24:14. And this gospel shall be, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached and all the world and the witnesses unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When the last one come. And not only preach the gospel, we send tapes, we send videos, we send Bibles everywhere. We have already reached the entire world. But what is missing? What Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:4, in my speech, in my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in what? Demonstration of the Spirit and power. Here we go again. Don't witness if your life cannot show what you're talking about. You cannot fool anybody. You cannot fool yourself, but you cannot fool everybody every time, all the time. So make sure that if you are witnessing, your life lines up with what you're talking about. Because nobody wants something that is just make-believe. Well, I know what you're saying, but I just, you're not living that way. So what kind of, that's a shame in the gospel. We don't want to bring shame to the gospel. Malachi 4, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet. How is this going to happen? You shall receive the Holy Spirit just like the first church. And second, we're going to go to the entire world and preach the gospel until we find the last one. This is where we are looking. And then, behold, this is a sign I'm sending you. See, we already have our sign. You don't need to seek signs. Sign will follow us, but we don't need to seek signs. Because the Bible says, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming and the great dreadful day of the Lord. So before the end, the prophet has to show. Why? What is the reason to send a prophet? Because the children's hearts to be turned. You know, to the apostolic father. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming and grateful day of the Lord. And he shall turn my heart, your heart, their heart, to the father, to the children, and the heart of the children to the father. That's the second part. That is the one we live in now. Lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. We already have a lost sign. We saw the prophet. Not alive. We heard about it. Some people did. Went to the meetings. But you and I are the recipient of this promise and this message that was put. So the end is here. See, because he said, before the end, I will send you a sign. Yeah. So I already got my sign. I don't need to look at nothing else. I don't need to follow anything else. Because I already know who I am and what I am.
Yeah.
Amen. I already received my last sign. Amos 3:7. 3-7. Can two walk together except they be in agreement? You know, if somebody has the Holy Ghost and profess to have the Holy Ghost and don't agree with the Word of God or disagree, how can they walk? Him and God are not walking. But you and I, we are walking with God because we are agreeing with His Word 100%. 100%. Will a lion roar in the forest when he had to not pray? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he have taken nothing? Can a bird fall and a snare upon the earth where no gene is for him, whatever that means? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in the city and the Lord had not done it? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he will reveal his secret unto his servants, the prophet. And today, those mysteries and those secrets we have been partaken of. Because we received the sign of his last coming. We receive a prophet. And we get the reward of a prophet. And that's the last sign, see, of his coming. Revelation 10. But in the day of the voice of the seven angels, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he had declared to his servant, the prophets. So that's where we are. We are finishing the race. Everything has been fulfilled. Waiting for the rapture. That is the last event left. That's it. What else is left? A people make themselves ready. Brother Brown says, exposition of the seven church age. That is, and behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming and the great dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the father to the children and the heart of the children to their father, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. See, immediately after the coming of this Elijah, the earth will be cleansed by fire and the wicked burns to ashes. Of course, this is not happened at the time of John. You know, people think he was Elijah. He was the same spirit of Elijah. Now, the messenger of Malachi 4 in Revelation 10:7 is going to do two things. One, according to Malachi 4, he will turn the hearts of the children to the Father. Two, he will reveal the mysteries of the seven thunders. And we already had that. Brother Brian came and the seven seals are open. He says. So he did his work, right? Which are the revelation containing the seven seal. It will be this divinely revealed mystery truth that literally turned the heart of the children to the Pentecostal Father. As Andy was preaching, the people of the book and brothers preaching, you know, the book is open. And when that book came open, I heard my name. See, I made my election and my calling sure. You know why? Because I heard my name. Maybe nobody else heard my name, but I heard my name. He says, the leader turned the hearts of the children of Pentecostal Father. Exactly so. But consider this also. This prophet messenger will be in his nature and manners as were Elijah and John. The people of this prophet messenger day will be as they were in Ahab days and John's. And since it is only the children's whose heart will be turned, it is only the children's who will listen. Ain't you glad and happy that God gave you ears to hear? Amen. Amen. Man. I don't deserve that. But I'm glad he thought that I deserved it. Now, we can see why there were two vines, one true and one false. Now, we can see why Abraham had two sons and after the flesh, Brother was talking about one over the flesh, the persecute. I think that was Brother Doug last time, that persecuted Isaac, and the one after the promise. Now, we can see how that out of the same parents, two boys come forth as twins, one knowing and loving the things of God, and the other knowing much of the same truth, but not of the same spirit, and hence persecuted. The child that was elected, God did not reprobate for the sake of reprobation. See, he's not going to get mad at you. He knows what is in your heart. He knows what those people do. And they know, he knows that they're going to reject God. But even God, knowing that he's going to be rejected, still is extend an invitation, knowing what they're going to say. But God is has to be fair. They have to have an opportunity to reject it. Elect cannot persecute elect. Huh. Tonight we'll get a little more into that. Elect cannot persecute elect. Elect cannot harm elect. It is the reprobate that persecute and destroy the elect. Oh, those reprobates are religious. Well, yeah, they crucified Jesus. They are smart. They are the canine, the serpent seed. They build their the Tower of Babel. They build their cities. They build their empires and all the while calling on God. They hate the true seed, and they will do all they can. That's what I told you at the beginning, at the onset. I told you, you're going to have to fight because everybody is against you. Not people, Satan and all the spirits are against you. The fight is not over until it's over. But why do they hate me so much? Well, because you love God. That's all. And they don't the way you do. They hate the true seed, and they will all they can, with all they can, even in the name of the Lord, they destroy God, elect one. But they are needed. Why? They are needed. You need to be perfected. And since I'm not going to be against you, God brings somebody else to perfect you. So count on all joy when you fall in all these tribulations and tests. You know, don't just say, oh, Lord, you know, I don't know what's wrong. What do they do that to me? Something good has come out of that. Amen? But at the end, we happen to the shaft. Well, I got ahead a little bit. They hate the true seed, and they will do all they can. Even in the name of the Lord, they destroy God's elect one. But they are needed. What is the shaft to the wheat? You see, not shaft, the wheat, but at the end, what happened to the shaft? So, what happened to the shaft is what's happening today. God is gathering the shaft because it had to be gathered first and burned. And the grain is put in the granary to be taken. But first, we've seen, we're getting that tonight a little further into that. It is burned with fire unquenchable, and the wheat, where is it? It is gathered in the garner. It is where he is. Oh, elect of God, beware. Study closely, be careful. Study closely, be careful. Read your Bible and pray. And then be careful. See, because your adversary, the devil, is even now going about like a roaring lion seeking who to make devour. But he can. He can touch us. He cannot overcome us. If we are in our rightful place. Watch unto prayer and be steadfast. This is the end time. Both the truth and the false ones are coming into maturity. But before the wheat matures, those ripeness there must be bound for burning first. So if you see the word coming together, and we're going to talk a little bit more. People talking about the prophecy about the Pope that came out of the United States. But if you read the rest of that quote, that's the first part of the quote. And the second part is about the unity that God was going to bring. See, that is our part, but we get into that tonight. See, because we forget it's a double meaning in there. The world is going to fulfill the part. I'm not happy about them fulfilling their part, but I'm happy about the part that I need to fulfill. And it's called, in one word, unity. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Why we have to be united as a body? Because we're going to be the voice of the resurrection. How can you be the voice when everybody's disunited? It has to be one voice, one mind, one baptism, one everything at the same time. How can we be the voice of resurrection when we cannot even see each other? Until unity happens, there won't be no rapture. But there will be a rapture. So that means somehow God is going to make sure we come together. But I will give you something extra on that tonight. I cannot jump. Anyway, unity. That is the binding. Soon the gardening of the wheat will come. But right now, the two spirits are at work, and the two vines. Come out from among the tares. Come out of her, my people. Star overcome, that you might be considered praiseworthy for your Lord and fit to reign and rule with him.
Amen.
Okay, one more. Wow, we made it through all that. Why? Why? It says, Shalom. Lord, take me. Lord, God, don't never let me get my mind like Judas upon an extra dollar. You know what he's saying? Whatever your heart is, there's your interest. There's your happiness. There's your desires. So where is your heart this morning? Because wherever your heart is, there's your treasure. So your treasure is in heaven that the moth cannot destroy, or is in earth. So he's saying, my eyes are on the dollar, the mighty dollar. Upon some fashion of the world, see? Young people, what makes you happy? What is your interest? Your interest is whatever your heart desires. What makes you happy? That's your interest. Do they make you happy to come to church? Do they make you happy to have the Holy Ghost? Do they make you happy to do the things of the Lord? What makes you happy? That's what your heart is at. And I'm talking to you guys too. Whatever your heart is, that's your treasure. My treasure is right here with you guys together. Okay, I know people are sick, but whatever your treasure, that's where you're going to be. I'm not saying that. The Bible says that. See, it says, don't be your interest in the mighty dollar. No. Well, I got to work today, this Sunday, and if I don't get this deal done, you know, I've got so much money involved here, and I'm going to get this bonus. See? It says, oh, brother, Branham, this. No, God never let that happen to me. Make sure your heart is in the right place. Make sure your interest is in the right place, in the things of heaven, and not the world. I will just take the way of the Lord, despise few. I will be a brother to a man. Do everything that I can. Lord, love people with all my heart. But Lord, never let me move from this word. I want to rise up in the last days. Is that your desire? But he's giving you the formula for it. But see, God has to do that in your heart. So that's what I'm sure I'm telling you. It has to be the Holy Spirit changing our lives. I cannot do it. I can imitate. And that's what Satan do. But I don't need the imitation when I got the real. But Lord, never let me move from this word. I want to rise up in the last days. And only those who are included in this great symphony, Lord, as I have tried to explain this afternoon, that the one that come for at the end of the sheet music, when the great resurrection and all the angels clap their hands and the saints of God is marching in, it is those who has acted out the part in this great drama we play. I'm going to show you the drama tonight and the part that you need to play. We need to act our part. The world is acting their part, but we need to act our part. Tonight, I'll give you an illustration of that. Stand. Well, we made it to half of the day. Praise the Lord. Are you happy? Even if you don't show, are you happy inside? I mean, you are rejoicing. I mean, we're so privileged to be part of this message. Oh, what do you want me to sing? Just tell me something and I go. No, come. I did my part, you do yours. God bless you.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I made it. Oh.